You can be seated, church. Thank you, worship team. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to teach today. Okay, so things are going to be a little bit different. Teaching just really means there's more of an emphasis on explaining. And I want to explain something that is near and dear to my heart. So if you just turn to Luke chapter 13. I'm going to be looking at verse 10. Lord, I just lift up right now your word. Lord, and you've come to bring and set captives free, Lord. You've come to bring deliverance into our lives. And Father, I just lift up your word right now, Lord. And I'm asking for the anointing of your spirit to lay hold of every word. That, Lord, every empty word would simply fall to the ground, but every word of yours, Lord, would proceed to every place within us that needs to go. Lord, you would expose everything that needs to be exposed. Lord, you would shed your light over every area of darkness. Lord, bring freedom to captives this day. And Father, I just lift up right now, and I come against every spirit of interference. Just forbid and I bind every spirit that would try to interfere and disrupt this service right now. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. I declare the freedom of the Spirit here in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, that's Jesus was. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Amen. So I want to talk about this area of the Christian walk, and that is the area of deliverance. That's the area of evil spirits. That word evil spirits also refers to unclean spirits and demons. Same thing. Different words used in different passages. But I want to speak about that today. And I would ask that if you're someone who writes notes, usually, that you're better off listening today and just paying attention. And then, you know, you can go home later and take notes then. Because I'm going to be sharing a lot of scripture and I'm going to be teaching. And I think you'd get more out of just paying your full attention to what I'm going to say. What I'm going to say, some of you would be very unfamiliar with, and I ask simply that you would just take what I'm saying and ask the Holy Spirit just to reveal it to you, just to agree with or disagree with what I'm saying today. So that's for you, just to ask the Holy Spirit to witness. Because that's what he does. He's the Spirit of truth. And he will witness to us that which is in truth, which is true, and that which is not. And a lot of what I'm sharing, this is not a how-to, okay? This is not a how-to be delivered from evil spirits. This is about them, okay? Mainly a lot of this is from the teachings of Derek Prince, okay? So I don't make myself out to be an expert in this area. But I've seen enough to know that it's something that the church needs to see and know about, because I've seen too many people that have been held in bondage for decades of years when it was unnecessary, maybe out of ignorance or for whatever reason. So this is probably the most, it is the most controversial topic in the church, but it's not really because the church doesn't talk about it. So there's no controversy really. But we're going to talk about it today because, like I said, there are too many, and I've just come into contact with too many people that have just been suffering, and Jesus didn't die just to keep us bound. He came to loose the captives, amen. Now, I'm going to read, again, I'm just going to read some scriptures out, and I'm going to share with you. So, in Matthew 10, verse 7 to 8, it said, Jesus, this is when he sent out the 12, he said, as you go, he said, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. So there's the commission for the 12. That's the same commission, by the way, for you and I today. And Jesus is basically saying to, when we actually preach the kingdom of God, when we're actually preaching the word, the proof of it will be the following things. The sick will be healed, the lepers will be cleansed, the dead will be raised, and they'll be casting out of demons. So that's the real way we know that we're in the will and the word of God, and we're doing his bidding, is by those things being manifested. And further on in Matthew 12, verse 28, it said, and these are the words of Jesus, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So, in other words, the one true distinct mark of the kingdom of God is the casting out of demons. In the Old Testament, people were healed. In the Old Testament, people were raised from the dead. In the Old Testament, there was miracles and signs. But as far as I'm aware, not one person was delivered from an evil spirit until Jesus came. So that is a work of and a ministry of Jesus, and it's for us today. That should be exercised in the church. And so for me, just to share with you today, it's just to, I won't say open your eyes, but I want to open you up to the things of the reality of the kingdom of heaven, particularly the casting out of evil spirits. Now, that scripture I read out in Luke 13 talked about a woman who was in the synagogue 18 years. This woman, she wasn't a criminal. She wasn't in the jail. She wasn't in the psychiatric unit. She was in a religious setting. Yeah, she was in the synagogue. The second thing is she was bound for 18 years. Again, someone who just suffered until Jesus came because he was the only one who could set her free. It said that woman, she had a spirit of infirmity. So that spirit, that particular spirit, its nature, a spirit of infirmity is something that causes weakness in the body. That particular spirit bent that woman over. She couldn't raise herself up. And so when Jesus came, he set this woman free. And he said Satan had bound her. So we know there was a spirit at work in this woman's life. And there's many spirits in the scriptures. There's talks about lying spirits. There's, like I said, spirits of infirmity, deaf and dumb spirits. It talks about spirits that convulse the young child on the ground. It talks about deceiving spirits. It talks about a girl in the book of Acts who had a spirit of divination. So there's plenty of it in the scriptures, and some of that you see today in the church. And that's just through the word, and there's more of them. Now, a spirit or a demon or an unclean spirit, whatever you want to say, they're all the same things, is a personality. So I want you to make you aware because we have an enemy. And the enemy is real. And the enemy has a personality. Matthew 12, verse 43 to 44. It says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. So we see there that a spirit, an evil spirit, has a will. Okay? In James 2:19, it says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. They have emotions. Matthew 8:29, and suddenly they cried out saying, this is the demons, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Again, there's emotions of the evil spirit. Mark 5:9, then he asked him, that's Jesus speaking to the spirit, "What is your name?" And he answered saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." There's self-awareness. Each of these scriptures, most of them, also talk about the spirit speaking, so they have a voice. So they're very much a personality. They're a person without a body. That's what we're dealing with, okay? And I'm not trying to impart fear to you, because Jesus has won the victory. Amen. So if you are standing right before the Lord, you're in fellowship, you're in the Word, you're in prayer, you're walking in the light, you don't have anything to worry about, okay? You got nothing to worry about. Now, that's about them. Now, the question is, can a Christian have a demon? In Mark 5:18, Mark 5:18 and Luke 8:36, it talks about a man with multiple spirits. That spirit cried out of the man and said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." That scripture refers to that man being demon-possessed. So if you look in your Bible, it will say, if you read from the New King James, it will say that he was demon-possessed. So can a Christian be demon-possessed? I'd say no. Because you and I are possessed by Jesus. We are possessed. We are owned by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have called on his name, you're owned by him. However, that word demon-possessed is very misleading. And I'll ask you to go home and do the homework for yourself. That word demon-possessed is incorrect. It should be demonized. So can a Christian be demonized? Can a Christian have a demon that influences them? Can a Christian have an area of their life that they don't have control over? Yes, they can. There can be an evil spirit in a Christian that is, and I'll go through this later, tormenting, harassing, defiling, compelling, tormenting. Now, as I understand it, we are three parts. We are body, soul, and spirit. My personal understanding is our body, physical body, and our soul are not sealed in the same way as the Holy Spirit, as our spirit, sorry. So our body and our soul are not sealed the same way that our spirit is. Okay? That's my understanding. You don't have to take that. But I want to say this. Every person that I've ministered deliverance to has been someone who's confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior. Okay? So I'm not offering you a theory here. I'm offering you something. I'm giving you the facts here. And I say this lovingly, okay? If your theology doesn't agree with the facts, then I'd change your theology. Because I'm telling you, this is the reality of the church. This stuff's outside, but it's in the church, okay? It's not the demoniac, the person in the psych unit, although they are probably demonized heavily. The criminal, yes. But it's just as much you and I. And I'm not necessarily talking about day-to-day from this point forward. I'm talking more so from our past, what we've brought into our life when we were unbelievers, okay? Let me take the extreme. You take a witch or a wizard, that's a male form. They've opened themselves up. That's an extreme case. They've willingly opened themselves up to everything demonic, okay? They become saved, born again. Okay, have a miraculous encounter with Jesus. What happens to the demons? Nothing. They remain there until that person gets deliverance. God can sovereignly touch someone and remove them, but more often than not, that person, that's what the ministry of deliverance is for. It's for that person or anyone else who's demonized that's come to the Lord to be set free. Now, I'll give you an illustration of that. My brother and his wife, they bought a house not long ago. I had a building inspection done. It wasn't done properly. Anyway, they own the house. Jesus owns us. They purchased the house. Okay, it was owned by them. They later found termites in that house. And that's a picture of what our lives can be like. Yes, we're possessed. Yes, we're owned by Jesus Christ. But there's something in us that is not okay. Something that's entered in, like termites. And that's evil spirits. Now, like I said, those that I've ministered to before in this area, see, it's the Holy Spirit that delivers people. It's the authority that Christ has given us, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit that does the work. Now, the Holy Spirit, you don't use the Holy Spirit. Now, if someone's delivered, then the Holy Spirit is attesting to what's being done, yes? The Holy Spirit, we don't abuse the Holy Spirit. We don't tell the Holy Spirit what to do. But if the Holy Spirit, like the miracles and signs, attested what Jesus did. So just for the Christian who is exercising deliverance to another Christian, if the Holy Spirit's at work ministering to that person, they're getting delivered, well, guess what? The Christian can be delivered of demons. Okay? So I just want to make that clear. Now, I'm not telling you this because I want to, in a sense, I am sharpening my axe, but I'm saying it because I get people saying, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? And I think, I can, but prayer's not what you need. You need deliverance. And I don't outwardly say that, but to that person at least. But if someone's got, let's say, fear, we can all relate to fear. It's a fear, it's a natural emotion, but it can become demonic. But if someone's got fear for 20 years and they say, I've had fear for 20 years, can you pray for me? I'm not going to pray for fear. I'm going to treat it as an evil spirit. Okay? So there's many of you, and I'm going to go through this, that have suffered. Some things you've suffered with because it was your fault. Some things you've suffered as a young person that was not your fault. Nevertheless, there's still things there that could be affecting you 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years later until something's done. And so this message is for you. It's to make you aware of the reality that you don't actually have to suffer. Jesus has made a way that you could be delivered. You don't have to suffer. Now, the objective of evil spirits, firstly, is that you don't come to the Lord. That's their first objective, that they stop people coming to the Lord. The second objective, if they fail in that, is to stop you serving the Lord. I'm going to ask TC to put this slide up because I want you to notice what an evil spirit inside someone does. Deceive. Okay, I'll give you a scripture for that. It's in 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Now the Spirit, Holy Spirit, expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And then this talks about the spirit themselves, but speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience with a hot iron. So there they deceive. You know, someone might be deceived in a sense that they say, you know, God's telling me this and God's telling me that and God's telling me this and God's telling me that. And God's just continually speaking to them. I mean, God can do that, but some of the stuff that's said, it's questionable. So some people are under a deception. That's one way. The Bible talks about deceiving spirit is another name, is seducing spirit. But, you know, part of deception is when someone's under that, they have a lying spirit. And a lying spirit, number one, it tells you lies. But number two, it makes you speak lies. So that comes under the deception. 1 John 4:8. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So there you see torment is related to fear. And there is a spirit of fear. That's how I first encountered this sort of thing. Someone said, can you pray for fear? I said, no worries. And they started, it was sort of, didn't go to plan, but it was a spirit. Something dramatic happened. Acts 5, verse 15 to 16, again. So that they brought the sick out to the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So again, there you see spirits, they're unclean. They do unclean things. And they torment. So you can just relate some of these things. Are you being deceived? Are you being tormented? They drive and compel. Luke 8:29. For he, that's Jesus, had commanded the unclean spirit to go out of the man, for it often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. So there you see someone who is driven or compelled. They entice. That's addictive and obsessive behaviors. Gluttony, that's one. Watching pornography, that's another one. Enslaving. Maybe migraine, arthritis. Now, I'm not saying all arthritis. I'm not saying every person who has got arthritis has a spirit of arthritis, but there is such thing as a spirit of arthritis. Defile. Defile. The spirit that's defiling, it makes you think filthy things. Now, I'm myself, I was born again. I still am, praise God. I'm quite happy to say I've been delivered as a born again believer. I have no shame in saying that. You know, Mary Magdalene, when Jesus rose, she was the first one to see Jesus. And you know her testimony? It says in the Bible, Mary Magdalene, whom Jesus cast seven demons out of. That was her testimony. The woman who had seven demons cast out of her. So, the Bible says what you sow, you'll reap. And, you know, as an unbeliever, I watched things that I shouldn't have watched. And so I reaped the consequences, you know. And so I had deliverance. Every morning, most mornings, I would wake up with very, very defiling and perverse thoughts. The moment I woke up, I knew that wasn't right. That wasn't me. There was something else tormenting me. Anyway, praise God, I was delivered. So again, I'm speaking the facts here. I'm giving you the reality of it. Now, they make you weak and sick. That's something else. These are all verbs. And you're going to keep that slide up, TC. They harass. They cause abnormal and unnatural behavior. Wherever you see that, abnormal or unnatural behavior, it's likely demonic. There's a spirit at work. And that last one there, restlessness, a great distinctive mark of demon activity, is someone who's restless. Now, this is just a short surmise. This is not the whole gamut, but it's enough. Now, you need to discern, because the Bible talks about demons or spirits that oppress. Yeah, it talks about when spirits come against us from the outside, okay? Now, that's one way they do come at us. They cause oppression. So oppression, something, one mark of oppression is like mental pressure. And the remedy for that, if you like, is to resist them, which is in James 4:7. It says in James 4:6-7, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's from when the Spirit's coming from outside. And following on in 1 Peter 5, 8, verse 9, this is similar. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So again, similar language there is to resist the devil, and again in 1 Peter, resist him. So that's when the spirit is coming from outside, because they can operate, spirits can operate from two alternative positions, from outside. I just gave you the remedy in those two scriptures. The second one is from within the body, and the remedy is different. When the spirit's from within, it's got to be expelled. Matthew 8:16, when evening had come, they brought to him, that's Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, we'll say demonized, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Mark 1:39, and he, Jesus, was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So that's the remedy, which is different. But when the spirit's coming from within, that spirit has got to be cast out. That's what deliverance, the ministry of deliverance, is for. So it's different from when the spirit's coming against you. Now you've got to discern what's that, what's what. And I'll give you an indication of how you know a little bit later. But there's another thing that we need to know, and that's we have a flesh nature. The flesh has been crucified, but sometimes our flesh, it wants to rise up. So not everything is a demon. Just because you're angry sometimes, maybe you lie, maybe you're lustful, doesn't mean you have a demon. So please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that everything's a demon, okay? So you need to understand that what I'm saying in that. We have a flesh nature. So in our flesh, Galatians talks about the lusts of the flesh. So things like fear, depression, lust, I've already covered that, self-pity, resentment, certain addictions, just to name a few. Those things can just be something that are in our flesh. And if that's the case, we don't cast out the flesh, we crucify it. Yeah? That's the old man rising up. It's got to be crucified. You don't cast out the flesh. And you don't crucify a demon. You've got to cast out the demon. So the remedies are different. Now, if you're dealing with something, and I'll use, again, fear, because we can all relate to it. Everyone, that's an obvious one. Let's say, we'll take fear. We'll take the person with fear. They've been living with fear for who knows how many years. It could be 1 year, it could be 30 years. They've fasted. They've prayed. They've reckoned themselves righteous. They've crucified that thing. If that fear is still there, and it falls into one of those verbs, then it's probably a spirit of fear. Does that make sense? If that thing, whatever it is, fear is the example I used, if it becomes one of those there, if it enslaves you, torments you, harasses you, then it's probably a spirit. Now, the important thing is to know how they enter, because some of the things that others do to us is a result. Now, breaking of the first commandment. God said, in the first commandment, not to have any other gods. Second commandment, not to have any carved images. Okay? That's called idolatry, when we have that before us. Now, I'll give you a definition. It's seeking supernatural power from another source other than God. Now, in Deuteronomy 7, 25 to 26, it said, this is the result of that. You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them or take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. Deuteronomy 27:15, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret, and all people shall answer and say amen. So wherever you're seeking a supernatural experience, supernatural help, counsel, power from anything other than God, it's called idolatry. Okay? And I've made it clear what God thinks about that. So it's very, very dangerous that in our past, we may have opened ourselves up to something. But there's forgiveness. Yeah? There's forgiveness for our past. So I'm not here to condemn anyone. I myself have opened myself up to things like the Ouija board when I was young. Okay, so I'm not putting you on one side and me on the other. I'm exactly in the same boat. Okay, but these things can have an impact on us. So when you bring anything associated with idolatry or the occult into your home, you're opening the way for a curse to come into your home. A curse brings witchcraft. You openly invite the spirit of witchcraft. When people seek those things, they're seeking help from the Lord's enemy. False religion, that's another one. False religion and cults. Things like Buddhism, Freemasonry, Hinduism, where we've got a personal background or a family member, God says he'll visit the sins, the iniquity, up to the fourth generation. And that's specific to idol, not just any sin. The context of the first two commandments is idol worship. Not just any sin, it's idol worship. God will visit up to the fourth generation. So if that was me personally, that means up to 30 people in my family line. Okay? Now, the next one is sin. A single sinful act can bring something in. That's an open door. Something like as a child, you watch a horror movie. I'll give you that as an example. That very moment, I'm not saying every time you do that, it will happen, but that can be a cause for a spirit, particularly a spirit of fear, to come in. You open yourself up. A result of someone who's sinned against you, particularly in the area of abuse, whether it's physical, sexual, or emotional. As a child, there's no coping mechanism. And where there's the weakest place and the weakest moment, that's when a spirit enters. So when that child is subject to abuse and trauma and pressure, like they can't do anything. They're helpless. Now, you might say that's not fair, but Satan isn't fair. But Jesus is the one who can deliver. So there's areas, and I dealt with someone this week, and I hope they don't mind me sharing, but I'm not going to expose them, but they had a horrendous raising in the family, and they're still suffering 50 years later. But praise God, because Rosemary got up here and testified for the healing power of God. This person contacted me, said, pray for me. And praise God, this person had a measure of freedom. That's why I'm here. I don't want people suffering. I'm tired of people suffering. Now, again, in the same line, if someone has sinned against you, you might have been in a position, maybe it's in the schoolyard, in a moment where you've been humiliated. Someone's, I don't know, this might sound funny, I used to pull my friend's pants down in front of other people. But things that were absolutely humiliating, where everyone's standing and laughing at you, that embarrassment, that shame, that humiliation, that is enough. There's a moment of trauma. You may witness an accident, someone getting hit and killed, something. That is enough for a spirit to come in. Like I said, they come in at the weakest moment and the weakest place. These are facts. Now, there could be sin in our lives, something that's habitual. Something, again, I'll use fear. That's common. It's probably the most common evil spirit out there, to be honest, and rejection. those spirits, something like fear, anger, lust, if you and I indulge them for long enough, Satan will exploit the work of the flesh, because they're works of the flesh, those things, just the work of the flesh. He'll exploit that work of the flesh, and that which is natural then becomes demonic. Yeah? So where we've got, again, I'll say that again, where we're the fear, lust, anger, they're just natural things, but they are a work of the flesh. And when we indulge them, we don't crucify them, we tolerate them, we keep them, and we allow them, that work of the flesh, Satan will exploit by evil spirits. And that which is natural becomes demonic. And at that point, you don't have control. That area of fear is controlled by a spirit of fear. That area of lust is controlled by a spirit of lust. Anger, you have no control. It's a spirit of anger. So every spirit needs a human body to function through. It needs the human body to express itself. What does the spirit of anger need? It needs a mouth. Spirit of doubt, what does that need? Mind. Spirit of fear, it needs emotions to fear through. Every spirit has something related to its nature. A spirit of lust, it needs what? Body parts to lust through, to express its nature. So these are self-relating spirits. They're evil spirits, they're unclean spirits, but they need a body. And so there's areas of our lives, like I said at the beginning, that we may not have complete control over. Maybe once upon a time we did, but now these things are happening to us. We're being tormented, harassed, enticed. We're being made weak, sick, harassed, restless. And I'll give you some biblical examples. That man in the Gadarene man who was cutting himself, he wasn't cutting himself, it was the spirit cutting him. Yeah? The deaf and dumb, what did that spirit make it the person do? Made the person deaf and dumb. The slave girl in the book of Acts had a spirit of divination. That spirit of divination did what? It gave her ability to divine, tell the future, fortune telling. Woman with infirmity, that spirit of infirmity made that woman be infirm, gave her the back, the hunched over. Now, I believe every negative emotion, and this is my personal opinion, every negative emotion can have the potential to have a corresponding evil spirit. Okay? You may not believe that, and that's okay. But when someone has an evil spirit, there's an area of their life that they don't have complete control over. Now, there's areas that are affected are the mind, our thoughts. Things like doubt, unbelief, indecision, procrastination, compromise. Things in our emotions and our attitudes. Resentment, hatred, rebellion, anger. Physical body, allergies, tumors, fits, cramps, heart attacks. I'm not saying every one of those is related to a spirit, but sometimes they are. The tongue, that's another area that can be affected. Lying, unclean talk, gossip, blasphemy, addictions, drugs, alcohol, food, and the area of the sex life. That's also an area that a spirit can be involved with. Now, I just want to close soon, but I will say there's another opening, and that's occult involvement. So maybe it's in your past. Like I said, I had contact with a Ouija board before I was born again. But occult involvement before we're born again, or even while we've born again, those things, you bring yourself under that spirit of witchcraft, spirit of sorcery, spirit of divination, when you have contact with those things. I'll give you some examples, because they're slightly different. Things like acupuncture, yoga, hypnosis, meditation, tarot cards, ESP, automatic handwriting, tea leaf reading, horoscopes, astrology, the list goes on. Anything you look to, anything at all, even objects, little charms, anything superstitious, certain music, drugs, these all come under witchcraft or sorcery or divination. They're all contact with the occult. These things bring you under and expose you to that spirit of witchcraft. So they're very subtle, but I'm exposing that here today because I want to help you. Amen. Now, another one, which is maybe not as, it's very common, but it's trying to control someone. Galatians talks about witchcraft as a work of the flesh. And witchcraft, yes, has spells and potions and all that, but witchcraft in its simplest form is just wanting to control someone. That's the simplest form of witchcraft, which means power. So if I want to intimidate my wife, I'm using power. But it's not God's power. I'm using power to get what I want. I'm trying to impose my will on her life. So that could be manipulation, intimidation. You see domination, extreme form of domination is rape. But where you may be someone who's come under witchcraft in the form of a parent, a wife, a husband, you've been intimidated all your life, manipulated, and you feel like a worm. You are under the control of someone, and it's witchcraft. You've come under their dominion, you've come under their power, and they're exercising witchcraft, and you need deliverance. Okay? That's one way it comes in. But it also comes in through unforgiveness. Well, the fear and torment comes in. In Matthew 18, it talks about the unforgiving servant. And when the unforgiving servant didn't forgive the one that owed him, Jesus handed him over to the tormentors. So another translation says the torturers. Who's the tormentors? Evil spirits, that's right. So unforgiveness, that is another opening for evil spirits to enter into our life. So it's very serious that we hold a clear account with God as far as not holding any offense. That's an open door for us. That's an open door for evil spirits to come in into our lives. But like I said, you can guard what's happened from this point past is done. Jesus has won the victory. There is deliverance, there is freedom and forgiveness in his name. You don't, like I said before, going forward, you don't have to fear. If you're someone who's walking in fellowship regularly, you are living in the light. In other words, you're walking before God blameless. You know there's no accounts that are due as far as your sin's concerned. That you're someone, a man or woman who's in worship, someone who is in prayer regularly in the Word, you are completely safe, okay? You are completely safe. You have nothing to worry about whatsoever. But in what's past, through different circumstances, you may have opened yourself up to certain things. Now, I'm not here to tell you whether you got something or not. What I want to say is you need to go home and you need to pray about what I've said. And secondly, you need to ask if there is anything that is on that board that you're having an issue with in any area of your life that you don't have full control over, you need to go to the Lord and you need to ask him, do I need help? So I'm just going to ask the worship team to come up because I'm going to close there. You don't have to suffer. There is freedom in the cross. He's done it all. And you know, when Jesus healed in the scriptures, many, many times it says healing. And it talks about maybe a physical healing, but also deliverance, casting out of evil spirits. And there's no dividing line between physical healing and the casting out of evil spirits, because they're both the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus came and he's taken upon himself every stripe. He's taken upon himself all the suffering that we would receive healing. So he's made a way. He's made a way for you and I. Now, I'm not having an altar call, but we're just going to close and we're just going to worship. And like I said, you've got some homework to do. I'm just going to leave it there. Lord, you are a miracle working God. Lord, I thank you that you are still setting captives free today. Lord, I thank you that your kingdom is still at work. Lord, you are still delivering. Lord, you are still releasing people. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon every one of your servants, Lord. And Father, I just ask everything that I've spoken here, Lord, if you want to expose anything, any area, Lord, of darkness, any influence, Lord, that is coming to our lives, Lord, any area of our lives that we don't have complete control over, Lord. Lord, where it's coming from an inside influence, Father God, I ask you would just reveal that to your people. You would reveal it, Lord, you would make it known, you would expose it, Lord, and you would bring the freedom that you died to give every one of your servants. Lord, I commit every person to here. Father God, I ask for your divine protection as they go. Father, bless them. And Lord, as we worship you, Lord, may we just glorify you for all that you've done. Already and to come. In Jesus' name.